Tom, is a lot of medical researchers are looking at all the data that's collected through your Fitbit and your Apple Watch, which I know you're wearing all the time and all the apps and everything. The question is whether this data is being accessed with proper user consent. And so there's a lot of discussion around that. So let's welcome Jeannie Bauman. Jeannie's a Bloomberg Law healthcare reporter. She joins us. So Jeannie, give us a sense of kind of what the regulators are doing as it relates to our personal medical data that are being collected on these devices and apps.
So thanks so much for having me. It's interesting because there are very strict regulations that prevent exculpatory language if you're enrolled in a clinical trial that says you cannot release your right of you cannot release any legal liability. But the app, when you scroll through them, you kind of there's all that long language that no one usually ever reads,
right.
And that all of that. Actually does release your legal liability. So the question is, if that's part of the informed consent form, which they haven't figured out yet, is that exculpatory language that's prohibited by the regulations? And then what does that do? Does that mean that you can't use it? Does that mean that you have to do special things? I mean, they're still sort of figuring all that out.
So would a solution here be, like, if I'm concerned about my personal medical data that's being collected here, would it maybe an opt-in option might be the way to go?
Probably. I mean, that is one thing that they're looking at. And I think it's also different where if they're building an app specifically for the study versus maybe you already have your Apple Watch and you're using it and then you enroll in a trial and you already agreed to it, there might sort of be this tiered consent of levels of what it is that they end up requiring.
What does a Fitbit tell them?
Well, so the good thing about a Fitbit, it captures, for example, your heart rate and cardiovascular data.
Yeah.
So it's
more.
Great. I'm sorry.
Does it do more?
I think so. I think the idea is that versus coming in and doing a 6-minute walk test for a clinical trial where it's a very controlled environment, you're getting all of that data in real time. And the idea is that it's also more accessible, right? Because then you don't have to take time off of work and come in and submit your data. And so maybe it could get more people can participate.
I thought, Paul, maybe it could tell if the margarita was up or on the rocks.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting, Jeannie. I would think from the medical research perspective, this would be really rich data, as you mentioned, kind of real time. So what's the medical research community saying?
They are, the issue is that it's creating confusion and different review boards. So if you want to do a clinical trial, you have to get approved by these ethics boards to make sure that you're that everything is on the up and up. And so the problem is that certain boards might be having different requirements. There might be inconsistencies, even though all the regulations the same. So the FDA is aware of this. I think they're in the beginning stages of working on this. There's an advisory committee at HHS that's sort of working on this, but there isn't any conclusions as of yet. And that's where the confusion is right now.
So the real issue is just really who's going to get final say here, right?
Right.
Okay. I got it. Mm-hmm. Jeannie Bauman, thank you so much for joining us.